This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, Spadoni, shut up!
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Damn right, it's 95.7 The Game. It's Spadoni, it's Lubman. We're live from Freeman's Appliance here.
These great slices of pizza are being brought to us.
For their fall sales event, yes. What's your name, sir?
Ethan
serving us some pepperoni pizza as the fall clearance sales event. It's got
everything,
guys.
We got to wait for the break to eat it, though.
We got the appliances. Speak for yourself. Appliances.
Oh, okay.
We got Electrolux. We got Bosch. We got Miele. We got the gas stoves. We got roasted chicken. I think it's almost fully cooked there in the corner. I've been watching it.
Should have had a time-lapse camera on that.
We should have. And we got music. We got family. We got friends. We got listeners. We got Zucci Man. We got Mark Grandy holding it down. We got back in the studio Ken and Cam holding it down. We appreciate you guys. We got one more hour here, Sam Lubman.
Really quick, I gotta give a shout out to Blue Star here because I found the chocolate chip cookies.
Oh,
shout out to Blue Star for making these things. They are soft, they are gooey. That's right, Blue Star. Shout you out. Thank you for the cookies.
There you go, Blue Star. We love it. There we go. You know what else I love? I love wins.
I like wins
too. I like winning.
I haven't got a lot of those around here lately, though.
I like winning. That's what I like to do.
Just win, baby.
Whether it's in sports, whether it's a Candyland, whether it's in Halo 2, I like to win.
You and Kyler Murray.
Thank you. Al Davis knew what he was talking about back then. RIP to that legend. The 49ers have been in the business of winning for a very long time now. And now they got some adversity. And, you know, we were talking about it all offseason. The Super Bowl hangover is real. Doesn't mean you can't make the playoffs, but getting back to the Super Bowl after losing it, it's tremendously difficult. Hell, winning it and getting back. The Chiefs are trying to freaking three-peat. That's unbelievable. It's never been done before. We might see it. And people are all here freaking out about the Chiefs being 3-0 and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce not looking great. I'm not worried about them. I am worried about the Niners, though, right now.
Yeah.
From this sense. The defense... I don't know what the pathway is for them to get better right now if they're going to keep getting injured. Other than Nick Bosa reverting back into a DPOY or Leonard Floyd being that double-digit sack guy, which he has yet to shown so far this season. One pressure in the last two games. He needs to step up. I'm trying to find the formula for the 49ers to make 49ers fans feel like they are back to being a legit Super Bowl contender. Because right now, just skating by against the New England Patriots, is it going to cut it?
No.
Do they need to blow them out this week?
Well, see,
Sam Lubman is what I'm trying to ask you.
Yeah, you see, I don't think they're in that situation right now. I think it's just, you know, ugly wins still count. You know, I shout out
BG Tennis Nation, Brad Gilbert, winning ugly. Great
book.
There
you go. I was going to shout out my Miami Hurricanes winning ugly last night as well. Ugly wins still count. And when you're in a losing streak, you know, you see this in baseball a lot too. You know, whether it's a team is on a 7-8 game losing streak, when they finally break that losing streak, the win is sometimes a very ugly win. But it doesn't matter because all you're trying to do is get back into the win column. Shout out Joe Angel, who had that call there. That's what you're trying to do. If you're the 49ers tomorrow, it is operation. Let's just get in the win column here because it's kind of hard, I think, to get that full-on blowout win that you want to see because you don't have the full cast of characters. You're going to have, obviously, Jordan Mason, you're going to have Juwan Jennings, you're going to have Brandon Ayuk. It sounds like we're going to be seeing George Kittle out there next tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. And him returning, that's going to be a big one because you got to imagine if George Kittle was healthy last weekend against the Rams. Is Ronnie Bell getting that target in the fourth quarter? Or is McCaffrey maybe going for a more trustworthy target in George Kittle?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. He could play the hypothetical game all he wants. My point is just having Kittle back this weekend, that's a massive bump for the Niners right there off the bat. But you're talking about how do you get the Niners back to a position where they're feeling good about
this game? I want the Niners fans to feel good about their team right now, and I don't think they feel good about really anything outside of Brock Purdy, which is great that he's playing well, but they're 1-2 and they have nothing to show for it. So that's why it's frustrating if I'm a Niners fan right now, and if I'm a guy like a Mark Grandy, if I'm a guy like Sterling Bennett, if I'm a guy like Kyle Madsen, it's just like, what do we hang our hat on right now outside of Brock having to make play after play with his legs? Like,
well, let me
defensively,
ask you this.
It's just not getting done.
Let me ask you this. When you talk about last year, what were some of the things they hung their hat on last year? When you think of what made the Niners so good.
Complimentary football. God love you. Is that the pizza, Sammy?
It might have been the pizza, the fudge, the cookies, the everything.
That's
why
you don't eat on air.
Oh, I wasn't eating on there. That's the embarrassing thing. But no, I mean, a big part of what the Niners were great last year was the running game. And that was because of, one, Christian McCaffrey. And Kyle Shanahan, he did speak with the media yesterday. And Ken Cam, if we have EO 78 ready to go, here's what Shanahan said about the challenges moving forward without Christian McCaffrey.
Not really. After Christian, I see all the guys kind of the same. They all can beat people in routes. They all have good hands. None of them I don't trust in protections. Juice probably being the most, but Juice also has great hands and is really good at check downs and getting up the field. And I feel the same way about JP. Christian's just different in that aspect, and that's why you always want him out there on third down.
Yeah, it's just it's different with him. He is at another level. And
well, he's you can make the argument like at times last year, he was a top 10 receiver and top one running back, but also a top 10 receiver. Like that just doesn't happen. And JP Mason, God love him, even in the passing game, like he's not going to get that production. So it's even more so heightened on a guy like Brandon Ayuk, Sam Lubman, a guy like Juwan Jennings, when you don't have that other safety blanket in the passing
game. And that's what McCaffrey was last week. I mean, how we all learned about the Texas route last year by watching McCaffrey put in work every weekend. You know, Spadoni, he had 67 receptions last year, Christian McCaffrey. 31 of those receptions went for a first down. And that is a big key of the Kyle Shanahan offense, is having that kind of dump down pass to McCaffrey to get the offense going. JP Mason has been a great runner. He's, I think, second in league in rushing right now behind Saquon
What's
Barkley.
His middle name, by the way. If you give him JP, what do you know what it is?
Jordan
Patrick?
Jordan Paul?
Those are the questions that need to be asked.
You got
to
Google it.
Cam, you got to Google that.
Let's do some producer
Jordan
back
Jordan Ponchez.
Ponchez?
Oh, okay,
there
Ponchez.
You go.
Ponchez.
Right.
I'm going to start calling him Ponch.
See?
But, you know, Mason's been a great runner. He's second in league in rushing right now. I don't know if his workload is sustainable. But he also has 4 targets and 4 receptions for 40 yards this year, which is that is not a good pace.
No.
And that is, I think, what you're really missing right now with Christian McCaffrey out is not so much the running ability, because I do think that Mason has done a good job. I don't want to say replacing McCaffrey, because you don't replace McCaffrey.
No, but rushing-wise, he's been incredible.
If you're looking for the rushing aspect, he has been more than covering up for Christian McCaffrey's absence. But the absence in the passing game, though, that is where I think is really kind of hurting this Niners offense, because you have that whole dynamic taken away. You speak about complimentary football, Spadoni. You know, Brandon Ayuk last year, he was the spark plug on this offense. Mm. There was a lot of games last year where the offense was kind of sluggish to start, and then boom, you hit him on that 10-yard out. Next thing you know, the offense is grooving. You don't have that right now. You had Christian McCaffrey as your escape hatch. You don't have that right now. So you talk about how you get the 49ers feeling good about that, good about their team overall. Step one, obviously, Brandon Ayuk needs to start being Brandon Ayuk again. Step two, it's getting people healthy. Step three, 49ers got to figure out what they're going to be doing with the running back position right now, because if just Jordan Mason is your primary back, this is no knock on Jordan Mason, but that's not enough. That's why I need to see more Isaac Garendo as well tomorrow, because we were freaking out last year about Christian McCaffrey's workload. And I say we, I mean Chasky and a little bit of myself. We were
Baldy,
really,
too. Brian Baldinger joins the Morning Roast every Tuesday, Monday. Former NFL offensive lineman. He's even talking about it this year, about all those touches having an effect, as you're alluding to, Sam Lubman.
And I think if we could have, you know, if we could get into our DeLorean, go 88 miles an hour back into the past to last year and say, hey, Christian McCaffrey's Achilles are going to be, you know, on nuclear fire, you know, this time next year. maybe ease off of him a little bit. You know, I hopefully Kyle Shanahan would heed that advice and not be, you know, transfixed by the time machine that just appeared in front of him. But this is why we were worried about McCaffrey's workload last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was is that the 49ers were, you know, a lot of us were saying Super Bowl or try again last year. No, the Niners were, as Bonte Hill was putting it, they were Super Bowl or bust last year. And they unfortunately, they busted because they were riding McCaffrey so hard all year long. And now you're seeing the side effects of it. So the past is the past. You can't undo it. The Niners need to figure out this running back position right now. And when I say figure it out, I mean they need to figure out a way to not do to Jordan Mason what they essentially did to Christian McCaffrey last year.
I hear you on that, but also at the same time is he's got young legs. Let's just use him. And I know we've been talking about this ad nauseum. How much to use him? Do you get the rookie involved? Right now, Jordan Mason's that dude. Whether you got him in fantasy or whether you're just watching it, you just need to use him as much as possible, and I can't worry about the ramifications after
but
that.
But he runs so hard, though.
He does, and he's been great.
It's going to take a physical toll at some point.
It is, but I can't worry about that right now. Just like last year, I couldn't worry about Christian McCaffrey's workload. That's a next year thing. I'm worried about this year now. Like, I can't
But that's
operate.
How we're in this mess, though.
No, but I hear you on that, but I can't operate like that. I have to operate on the assumption that maybe at some point, Christian McCaffrey does come back, because Kyle Shanahan hasn't ruled that out yet. He's not ready to admit that there's a season without Christian McCaffrey. He is operating like he is coming back at some point.
As well he should, you know?
And I'll have to take his word at that. So I'm also going to operate that Christian McCaffrey's coming back. You got to run J.P. Mason for all he's worth. Like, in a game like tomorrow, that might be a dogfight. I'm using this guy's legs. And yes, Brock Purdy, use your legs too a little bit when you're scrambling around doing all that fun stuff. I hear you on the pass game thing, because that's where I do agree with you on this. That's where you're really wanting him. But between the tackles, man, Jordan Mason, like, he's been one of the best running backs outside of Saquon Barkley in football this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to just keep using him, because he hasn't had
a major
injury.
I'm not saying don't use him, but, like, you got to get other people in there. That's why I need to see more Isaac Garendo.
I'm scared to death to trust in a rookie right now.
I mean, then you know what you do? Like, you got a guy named Matt Breida just sitting on his couch right now, watching these games, thinking, I could do all this stuff. I know how this offense works. I was just there a month ago. I don't understand. Why don't, like, the Kansas City Chiefs, they went out, they brought in Kareem Hunt as soon as they lost Isaiah Pacheco. You got other teams going out there. They're signing guys when they have guys injured. You have a running back right now sitting on his couch who knows this offense. Listen, is Matt Breida the end-all, be-all of running backs? No, he's not. But you're saying you can't bring him in, get him 8 carries a game, spell Jordan Mason? That's going to break the offense? Like, this is where Kyle Shanahan continuously is his worst enemy here. It's, you know, not just the clock management. It's the fact that so many times under his tutelage, players are just getting hurt so far often, and he's not doing anything to kind of, you know, provide some insurance when that happens.
I mean, it's football, though. People get hurt. Like this is the thing, and it goes back to, like, pitching and baseball. I get so frustrated with this. Oh, Paul Skeens. I mean, that's 100 pitches. You got to take him
out. Well, your arm's going to fall off at pitch 101. We all know that.
Sooner or later, it's just so annoying to have the counts being touches, the touches being counted. Sorry,
but they add up, though. We've seen that.
Bullcrap numbers.
Thank you. I don't care. Run the ball. We didn't care about this crap 20 years ago when Sean Alexander was doing his MVP here when he was with the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, he fell off a cliff. That's what happens with running backs. Sorry, they're devalued because of that. So you know what? Next year, you'll find an undrafted one, like a J.P. Mason. You'll find someone else, because Kyle Shanahan always finds a way. Yes, there's only one Christian McCaffrey, but it was bound to happen with Christian McCaffrey. Sorry. Like, I look at a guy like Derrick Henry. He is one of one. He has been a stud and one of the best running backs in football since coming out of Alabama when he won that Heisman Trophy, which probably Christian McCaffrey should have won out in Stanford, but East Coast bias, we won't get into that. Like, these two have been the best running backs in football since coming into the league. But you know what? Sooner or later, they're going to fall off a cliff, because that's just the nature of the position. You don't really see it as much with quarterbacks. You don't really see it as much, maybe to a certain extent, with wide receivers, but specifically with running backs, this is the norm. So you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if Christian McCaffrey was never that guy again, because it's the nature of the position, which, again, I can't live for next year. I just got to worry about this year. And right now, Jordan Mason, one of the best running backs in football. You got to keep running him into the ground. I know it sounds horrible, but that's where I'm at. 888-957-9570. Weigh in the conversation. Call, text the Xfinity Mobile text line.
Yeah, no, I want to hear from our listeners here. What do you do with this running back situation? Are you on team run Jordan Mason to the ground? Are you on team give Isaac Garendo a bone here and there? Are you on team go get Matt Breida? Are you on team go get a different running back whose name isn't Matt Breida? So I'm kind of curious. I want to hear from the listeners. What do we do with this running back situation? It's just, in the NFL, when you're giving a guy a carry every single day, every single play that you do run the ball, it just feels like an unnecessary risk. I know this is football. Guys can get hurt at any play. Any play can be your last. But that's just the nature of the game. When you're putting yourself in a position that kind of exacerbates that, we got a kid with a Kobe jersey
through
number
here. Number 8, let's go. There's 8 and then 24.
He's got the 24 going there.
He's got both.
Can you still wear the 8?
As you should, Bonte. You can rock the 8, you can rock the 24. You can walk it every single day out of the year. And is it? And it's not 8:24. It's 8:28. It's 9:28. I'm getting my months all mixed up here. But I do know it's the fall clearance sales event here at Friedman's Appliance at Pleasant Hill going on today and tomorrow. Spadoni and Lubman with you for the next 40 minutes. We're talking Niners. We're talking Patriots. It's scary hours right now for Niners fans. And I'm not a fear-mongering guy. I don't like to lean into that stuff. But if you don't win tomorrow against this team, you start looking at the schedule, it's going to start getting scary hours here.
I want to hear
that. By the way, that drop from Robin Sanbruno
might be drop of the year. That might be the drop of the year. To be honest,
it's coming hard.
Robin Sanbruno, can you call in? I want to hear your opinions today.
I said what I said.
But first things first, I want to go to what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday about having that third down back, because I kind of like what he said here, Spadone. Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about having that third down back.
When we've had a third down back, really a great one the last 2 years, I feel it's been as easy a football as I've had in my 20 years. So it's a very good bonus to have a really good third down back. I mean, just for situationally, what it does on third down, what it does in the red zone, to me, has as big of an effect on anything that I've experienced. You know, you don't always have those guys. You know, I rarely have in the past, you know, to have a really good one. But you want guys who are serviceable at it and can do a good job, and all our guys do. But Christian's on a whole nother level with that aspect.
So, I mean, he likes having that third down back there. I mean, if there's a way that, I mean, you can get Garendo in there to be, I mean, that's a big ask there to have Garendo be that back. But that's the kind of thing, like, I feel like, with Kyle Shanahan, when you box yourself in here with these running back options, you set yourself up for failure down the road, and that's why we spend all, you know, off season saying the downfall is near.
Well, I'll say this in regards to that. If they knew about the CMC injury when they were giving him the contract, and they still did this going into the season without this sort of backup, well, you got Mason, you got Garendo, but they go into the season knowing McCaffrey was hurt, and maybe not the severity, but just knowing that he's hurt, they're going to have egg on their face all season long, and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are to blame for a lot of that. Like, I'm going back to their, it seems just like a blatant lie when they said just a few weeks ago, oh yeah, you know, if this was a regular season game or if this was a playoff game, Christian would be playing. Really? When he's going to going to Germany now and trying to get special treatment that you can't get in the United States?
But we can't sign Brandon Ayuk either.
It's
all going on during that,
look.
Too, which is even also just as ridiculous.
It's not a great look right now if you're Kyle Shanahan. You're getting into it to one of the players that you paid a premium for, second-team All-Pro, Brandon Ayuk. It's not a great look when the guy you gave all that money to and restructured his contract, Christian McCaffrey, is getting surgery over in Germany to try to come back at some point this season. It's just not a great look right now for Kyle Shanahan, which sucks because I do think the offense and the quarterback, again, I keep going back to this, it feels like the season's teetering right now, but your quarterback's playing well.
Which is weird, because in the past,
it's the inverse
almost
all the time.
In the past, it's always been the quarterback has been the reason why the season's teetering.
It's just, they can't have a perfect world of anything, and it felt like last year the stars were aligning, which again, I go back to the Super Bowl hangover. You had an MVP candidate in Brock Purdy. You had another MVP candidate in Christian McCaffrey, who ended up winning Offensive Player of the Year. You had Nick Bosa, who, again, by Bosa standards, coming off of DPOY, maybe not up to snuff. But you know what? He still had double-digit sacks. You had, obviously, George Kittle, first-team All-Pro. You had second-team All-Pro, Brandon Ayuk. Debo Samuel, still a baller. You had all these things going for you, and you had a lead in the fourth quarter. And I hate to bring it back to the Super Bowl, but you know what? Like,
oh, no, it's going to hang over them.
You don't win it.
It's going to keep hanging over
them.
That's
just what happens,
it's been,
man.
Both of these Super Bowls are hanging over them.
Yeah.
And it's going to start wearing on them. And it's like, eventually, again, all the grind they put themselves on these last few years, eventually it is going to start catching up to them. And that's where, you know, if they knew with the CMC injury coming down, like, if they knew that CMC was having issues with his Achilles, with his Achilles tendons, and they still signed him while also not signing a healthy Brandon Ayuk, who I think has far more, a lot more good football left in him than Christian McCaffrey does. I think, I mean, McCaffrey's, what, 28 years old right now, which is...
That's old.
That's 38 for a running back, basically. Brandon Ayuk, I think, is just hitting what should be the prime of his career right now. So there are far more good days ahead for Brandon Ayuk, I believe, than Christian McCaffrey. But you prioritize McCaffrey over Brandon Ayuk. Like, again, this is where it comes into just... You're creating these situations that are holding you back if you're the 49ers. Like, you're trying to lock in and, you know, go really drive for a Super Bowl here, but the actions that you're taking, it tells you the Super Bowl is not the greatest priority because you're trying to win negotiations with your wide receiver that you need to win a Super Bowl. This is the third year in a row now, Spadoni.
Well, we talked about it, Sam, not to cut you off real quick. We talked ad nauseum this summer. Do you need Brandon Ayuk to win a Super Bowl? And the prevailing sentiment was no.
See, I always disagree with that thought.
Really?
I always disagree with that thought. Like,
I mean, you have Kittle, you have Debo Samuel, right?
But Debo Samuel isn't the same receiver that Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is a true route-running, deep-threat receiver, whereas Debo Samuel, that's just not really what
he is.
He's a great yards-after-catch guy, but you need both of them, I think.
I think Juwan Jennings has made a name for himself these first couple weeks, saying, you know what, maybe
I don't know if Juwan Jennings is really that guy, though.
He looked like T.O. last week.
Okay, one game, we're saying Brandon who?
I'm just...
Okay, if Juwan Jennings goes out and has two receptions for 14 yards this week, are we back on to the, you know, this is why you needed Brandon Ayuk bandwagon?
If Brandon Ayuk does not have a good game tomorrow, he's not going to have a great game all season long. Like, you cannot go into this game. This Patriots team stinks. They're going to be a top five pick this year. They already have Drake Mays set on the bench because they're worried that he's going to get hurt because this offensive line in front of Jacoby Brissett is garbage. They don't even want to play their rookie quarterback. When all the other teams, the Broncos playing Bo Nix, you got obviously Caleb Williams starting for the Chicago Bears, and you got Jaden Daniels with the Washington Commanders. Like, everyone's playing their rookie quarterbacks except the New England Patriots because they know how porous their offensive line is. You have to dominate this game. And I know the defense is solid for New England. I get that. Brandon Ayuk, just for the mentals of him, of Shanahan, of Purdy, at least a touchdown, and I need at least 85-plus yards receiving.
I mean, another thing I want to throw
out. At least.
Another thing we could maybe throw out here as well, maybe kind of also pick this up a little bit on the other side as we are approaching the break here. I mean, how much of these Niners struggles are all just a matter of the fact that they need guys to be healthy? I mean, obviously, you're not going to get Dre Greenlaw back for a while. I've heard, you know, whispers, reports, whatever you want to call them, that, you know, they expect him back sometime in the middle of the year.
Great. I don't even know what version of Dre Greenlaw I'm getting.
Well, it's an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
Like, his Achilles snapped in half. Like, I need to see him on the field before I actually believe he's going to be on the field. So, as far as I'm concerned, Dre Greenlaw is playing zero snaps this year. That's as far as I'm concerned. But if you can get the rest of these guys healthy, just having Debo and Kittle back on this offense would make a world of difference for the 49ers. A part of me, Spadoni, just thinks, this is why I don't think the style points really matter as much tomorrow. Because if you do get the win tomorrow, then you're going to have Kittle back, then you're going to get Debo back. Slowly, you know, Trent Williams will be another week in shape. Hopefully Ayuk has that game that he needs to kind of get into his groove. You know, a win tomorrow, get everyone healthy, get everyone in their groove. It is very possible that, I mean, you're not going to have McCaffrey or Greenlaw, but you could pretty much have, you know, for the most part, your main cast of characters ready to go when the Cardinals come to town next week.
So you're saying forget Stella, it's Brandon Ayuk how he got his groove back, right?
Brandon Ayuk, exactly.
There you
Brandon
go.
Ayuk.
That's a guru special, by the way, so I'm going to give myself a one. Thank you, Tony, in Oakland.
You think she's going to come by today?
She would love Friedman's Appliance here as Sam's.
I mean, Friedman's Appliance is very much in the zone right now.
I almost just called you Sam Spadoni, which is my older brother's name, by the way. He's the oldest. He's the oldest Spadoni here of all my siblings. The great Sam. He legally changed his name from Samuel just to Sam.
Because
he didn't like the full name.
I never liked it either.
Don't tell your mom that.
She's the one who put it there.
He doesn't like his full name? Sam is a fine name. Come on. Come on, Samuel.
No, it's funny, though. In high school, there were five Sams in my high school class, including me.
All guys, or there's some girls?
All guys. Okay. Five male Sams. And in our yearbook or whatever, you know, in all the listings, the four of them were Samuels. I was the only Sam.
There you see.
I don't know how I set that up, but, like, I'm very proud of myself that I set that up.
I'm very proud of you, too, Sam. And I think your mom's very proud of you, too, as she should be.
She
doing a hell of a job here, Sam
right
Lubman.
Now.
Friedman's Appliance here at Pleasant Hill for the fall clearance sales event going on throughout the rest of the today, tomorrow. It's been a lot of fun. We're up against it for this segment, but we got one more, so come join us on the other side. We're here for one more segment. Hey, 888-957-9570. Hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube as well, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's Spadoni, it's Lubman, it's 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Love it's starting to piss me off.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, one more segment here. Spadoni and Lubman live from Freeman's Appliance here at Pleasant Hill for the fall clearance sales event going on all through tonight and tomorrow. So come stop by. We'll only be here for another 30 minutes. Maybe I'll linger around, see what else they got. It's been a lot of fun, though. Shout out to all the listeners.
We
got to
help Grandy clean up.
Exactly.
Too.
Shout out Steiny for stopping by. Shout out Jim Cosmore for stopping by. All courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And we've been talking a lot of Niners and Patriots, but you know what? Let's just put a bow on that conversation. I think Sam and I are in agreement that you lose this game. It's not only panic, it's DEFCON bajillion for San Francisco.
Oof.
And it's not going to get any easier. So lose that game tonight. It's a must win, essentially, for the San Francisco 49ers taking on the New England Patriots. But I want to pivot to some basketball. And we talked a little bit about the big trade last night. Karl-Anthony Towns going from Minnesota to the New York Knicks. You got Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle coming back to Minnesota. Very interesting. We'll see how that shakes out next year. But the Golden State Warriors, Sam, they're going to be practicing and playing some preseason games out in Hawaii. They're going to be doing their thing. You heard from Stephen Curry. It was great to hear his voice calling in, wishing happy birthday to Matt Steinmetz. That was really cool. Got him a signed jersey. That was amazing. But where are you at with this team heading into this year? Steve Kerr said everything feels great. They feel energized. They feel. I was like, that's awesome. But I just can't help but feel like a lot of Warriors fans are heading into the season saying it's going to be Stephen Curry, and if he's not on that night, it's going to be a long season. I'm very curious, because you are a Warriors fan too, to kind of just get the mindset of Warriors fans heading into the season, where a lot of them felt like it was Lauri Markkanen or bust.
Thank God that didn't happen.
You don't got Lauri Markkanen. He's going to be in Utah for a very long time. And it's Stephen Curry and a revitalized Andrew Wiggins.
We're buying stock.
Anthony Melton. No more Klay Thompson. He's a Dallas Maverick. I'm just very curious to know the psyche of a Golden State Warriors fan heading into this season, because I don't know what to make of this season, to be quite honest. I don't.
Yeah, I'd be kind of curious. I need Nick in San Jose to call in, give us a win prediction right now. But
my God,
it seems like it. I remember last year we were coming down the stretch. It felt like we were really trying to talk ourselves into this whole notion that once they made the playoffs, they would flip that switch and then just go on a run, even though they were, you know, mired in the 10 seed and buried, you know, deep within that play-in tournament,
which
there.
Which is just laughable at the time.
It was laughable.
I mean, Oklahoma City, you looked at Minnesota, you see Dallas.
Denver, who they can't beat.
Denver, they were just all so much younger, bigger, faster, and athletic.
Far more athletic.
And that's what you're going into this offseason saying, we need to do all these things. We moved out of Klay Thompson. That was emotionally very difficult. But you know what? He's getting older. He's not the same guy as he used to be. Two major injuries, the ACL, the Achilles. I think we can accept that. But we cannot accept is not maximizing Stephen Curry's quote-unquote championship window. And I think it's very difficult for Warriors fans to even kind of comprehend that just because you have Stephen Curry doesn't mean you're a championship team. It's a lot like what Lakers fans are going through. Just because you have LeBron James doesn't mean you're a championship contender anymore.
I mean, that used to be the thing. Remember how bad, like, when LeBron left the Cavs the first time, how bad that Cavs team was
the next year?
It was a very similar roster to the one that LeBron had left.
Anthony Bennett, baby.
And he had dragged that team. Like, so, LeBron is not that guy anymore. So, Warriors Media Day is on Monday. By the way, quick aside before we jump into this Warriors conversation. Monday is setting up to potentially be one of the all-time days in Bay Area sports talk. Because you got Warriors Media Day happening. Who knows who's going to be saying what there? Is Draymond Green going to speak? What's going on with that podcast? I'm curious what he thinks of this team. They're giving Draymond a space. Let's see how that worked out. So you got that.
That's another.
Well, the Niners season is going to be either completely off the rails, going down into the chasm of doom, or the train's going to be back on the track and we're going to be talking ourselves into the Super Bowl again. And then three, the Giants. Are they going to be making an announcement on Monday? What will that announcement be about? I did find out the end-of-the-year presser, it is going to be on Tuesday. Who is going to be at that presser? I could not get a clear answer on that yesterday. So Monday is really shaping up to be quite a fun day for Bay Area sports fans in terms of that conversation. But earlier this week, Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr had their first media availabilities, a pre-media day media event, so to speak. So they're asked all sorts of manner of things. And Ken, if we can go to it, here's what Mike Dunleavy said about the core of this Warriors team.
We feel great about the team in the sense that we improved the team. Coming off a season last year where we didn't make the playoffs, even though we won 46 games, we knew we had to get better. And I think we certainly have done that. I think for me, the unknown or the exciting part of the year is we know we're going to have a good team, I believe, but at the same time, we don't know how that's going to be. In terms of, we've got a lot of good players, got an opportunity for guys to step up, emerge, all that. So I think how it's all going to play out is uncertain. But I think at its core, we've got a good team. And as far as the other stuff goes, and rumored to be in deals and things like that, we're probably as impatient as a franchise as you can be right now, given our time horizon and all that, but there's a fine line between impatience and undiscipline, and I think feel good about the discipline that we held this summer and the roster we built and the growth from within that we're going to have. And so we're in a good spot heading this year, and I know everybody's always looking for big headline breaking news and all that, but I really like this team.
So it feels like
we're
in a very similar situation as last spring, where we're saying, "Yeah, this Warriors team, like, they look good, but like, we don't know what's going to be like.
They have the ability to be good,
but like, we don't know if they're actually going to do it." My question is simply, Spinner, and I feel like it's the question that you want to ask me: is this team actually better? Are they good? Are they improved? 888-957-9570. Are the Warriors better right now than they were last year? And you hear Steve Kerr said it a lot. You had Mike Dunleavy saying it right there. You know, they could sit there and scream to the high heavens, "We are better. We are better. We like this team. It's better this year." This isn't one of those situations where the more you say it, the more likely it is to be true. Maybe I'm a pessimist in this situation. I have a hard time truly believing the Warriors are better this year than they were last year.
The only way they can improve from last year to this year, I'm looking at one guy and one guy in particular. It's Andrew Wiggins. Can Andrew Wiggins get back to what he was for a short stretch? And that was basically that all-star year that he had a couple years ago when they won the championship. He was an all-star, then he kind of fell off. And then we were debating, was he the worst all-star of all time? And then,
No, that's going too far.
Thank you, Liam Neeson. Shout out Qui-Gon Jinn. Like, And then you go back to that championship run, and he was the second best player outside of Steph Curry, and he was amazing. And you saw the absolute ceiling of that number one overall pick out of Kansas when he was compared to the likes of guys like LeBron James when Cleveland drafted him, then he ended up getting traded for Kevin Love, and the rest is history. We haven't seen that Andrew Wiggins again, and I don't know if we're going to see it, and obviously he's dealt with a lot the last couple of years. He lost his father. A heart goes out, and our sentiments go out to the Wiggins family. It's been tumultuous, to say the least. Can he get back to that? And I guess maybe that's even unfair to say, because that was just a small stretch in his career, and maybe he's shown us who he was throughout his whole career all along.
And maybe that was the peak.
And maybe he's just a solid player, but that's getting paid way too much to just be a solid player.
I've always looked at him as he could just be a slightly better version of Harrison Barnes. Like, can you at least be that? Which I think that's attainable. But yeah, we would talk about the importance of Andrew Wiggins. You know, we always talk about Steph Curry's incredible Game 4 performance against the Celtics. But that didn't clinch the series. You know, they didn't clinch that series till Game 6. Still need to win Game 5, which was the Andrew Wiggins game. Andrew Wiggins balled out in that Game 5 to set the Warriors up to win that NBA title against the Celtics on the parquet floor just a couple summers ago. Steve Kerr also spoke last week, and he kind of gave us an update on how Andrew Wiggins is looking early on. Ken, do we have that, and can we fire that off, please?
Well, I mean, I've only seen him the last couple of days since he got back in town, but, you know, number one, he looks physically really fit. I think he also looks, just speaking with him, he sounds very motivated. He's very much at peace. I think he's in a place where he knows the last couple of years have been tough for a lot of reasons, and I think he's primed to get back to, you know, where he was a couple of years ago. He's at the age where he's right in his physical prime, and we've seen him do it. He helped us win a championship. So I'm expecting a big year from Wiggs, and you know, I think there's also a void that is left by Clay's absence that we need to fill. That's a lot of points to score, but it also means we have to rethink how we're doing things, and Wiggs will be featured for sure. He's a guy who's proven. He's a 20 point a night guy, and we're gonna be relying on him heavily.
And that was the promise, right? Andrew Wiggins was going to be that heir apparent to Klay Thompson when Klay Thompson eventually moved on, because he obviously knew the writing was on the wall when he had those two major injuries, one in the finals, then one ramping up to try to get back after injuring his ACL, then the Achilles happened. So it's like there's been this, you know, build up here, and he showed you what he can be, but trying to get back to that, I think you're setting yourself up, and even here from Steve Kerr, he's expecting a lot out of him. I don't know if you can expect a lot.
It is a lot to expect out of him. No, I agree with you on that. Steve
ahead.
Kerr, you're expecting a big year out of Andrew Wiggins. I'm going to elevate this a little bit. I kind of demand a big year out of Andrew Wiggins.
Oh,
if we're going to see
that,
because we're trying to maximize, is the goal not to maximize the final years of Steph Curry's career? That is what this is all about. Everything right now is what can the Warriors do to get Steph one more ring?
Is it, or is it looking towards the future?
After I like Steph to believe,
Curry,
as
the two timelines,
Mike Dunleavy
right?
said, you know, we'll get to the two timelines in a second. Mike Dunleavy also was asked about maximizing the last few years of Steph Curry. We'll get to that cut in a minute, but if that is indeed the goal, to get Steph that one more ring, because you want to get your superstars as many rings as possible, because I don't know if Warrior fans have truly kind of taken in the fact that once Steph goes, it's going to be a dark period. It's going to take a long time to get close to the top of the mountaintop, much less on top of the mountaintop.
Well, that's
unless,
why you got to worry about
like,
right. That's why you got to worry about the future, though.
Well, no, and
maybe you start if you're not good this year, Sam Lubman. Maybe you start calling some
well,
teams.
Well, then we'll get to that in a second. That's where the Kuminga and Moody conversation comes in. But if the goal is indeed maximizing Steph's final year, then we need to see something from Andrew Wiggins and EO60. Ken, this is what Mike Dunleavy had to say about that.
We have a lot of dialogue about it. I mean, we unequivocally are trying to, maximize, you know, his greatness, Draymond's greatness, and all the resources that we have. So those conversations are really positive, productive. They know the drill, and, we'll keep pursuing that. But as I said before, there's a level of discipline that you have to have, and there's no point in going all in to be, you know, slightly above average. When you go all in, you got to feel like you're all in. So that's how we'll kind of judge and evaluate things, and you know, we'll see what's there.
In the Warriors, they are, I believe, hard capped at $179 million due to, because they did the sign and trade for, was it the Anderson trade that hard capped them there?
Yes.
So going all in, being both, the Warriors, they're kind of all in right now, so to speak, with this roster. So if they are going to be all in, if they are going to be a player in the West, yeah, Andrew Wiggins, I need to see that big year from you that we're buying stock in you for. And, of course, Dunleavy, he also mentioned Draymond Green's greatness. And I think when he says greatness, I don't think he's talking about podcast greatness.
That's the guy.
What kind of an X factor is Draymond Green going to be this year? There's Joe.
My man. Our guy, Joe. Saying what's up here. Freedman's Appliance, Fall Clearing Sales Event. But as you were just saying, Draymond Green is that dude, Sam Lubman, that all the eyeballs are going to be on now this year. Klay Thompson.
You're talking to me.
No, you shouldn't be shocked, Draymond Green, because I am talking to you. Yeah. Klay Thompson was the whipping boy last year, if you will. Everyone wanted to pile on Klay. Mm-hmm. He's taken too many shots. He's not as athletic. The lateral movement.
He's washed.
All this sort
he's
of
cooked.
Stuff. He's washed. He's cooked. I'm sorry. Was he out? Like a quarter of the season because he couldn't stop punching people or putting people in chokeholds.
You don't think
that was Draymond Green?
Yeah, you don't think that absence mattered?
It's just crazy to me.
Most important year of his career too. We mentioned that a couple times. That was the most important year of his career, and he missed a third of the most important year of his career. And what did Joe Lacob say about it? We're just not going to sugarcoat it, do a sugarcoat job,
and
then he sugarcoats it. And this is where I get so freaking angry with this team, is the enabling of Draymond Green. When Joe Lacob, I remember it was the Mike Dunleavy's intro press conference, said, oh yeah, Draymond, you know, he knows that he has to, you know, that he has a lot of stuff to work on, and we trust that he's going to work on that stuff. This was last summer, and then he misses a third of the season, and this team routinely does absolutely nothing. They gave him his space this offseason. We'll see if that matters at all, but you have a guy who just is a loose cannon, renegade basketball player, doing whatever he wants, thinking he's above everything. You think Brandon Ayuk is wearing the wrong shorts? Draymond Green wears whatever he wants. Like, Draymond Green, he makes Brandon Ayuk look like a choir boy on the Niners with how much of a kind of a malcontent, I don't know if malcontent's the right word, but in terms of just an unnecessary distraction and hindrance to success. And you talk about maximizing Steph's final years, you know, it's not just Andrew Wiggins having that big season. It's Draymond Green basically pulling his head out of a place where the sun don't shine and being that DPOY guy that you were several years ago before you hit record on the podcast. I'm not saying the podcast is why he is struggling, but during this podcast era, it's very hard to really not come down Draymond Green's road every single week.
Well, I can't wait for the cross-pollination situation sensation.
Oh, wow.
When we get Debo Samuel and Draymond Green cross-podcast, got Brandon Ayuk as a guest. That's what I'm looking forward to around Christmas time, because I'm sure we're going to get that. And Draymond Green,
take that one live.
Draymond Green, he is just such a can of worms. He's one of those guys here at 95.7 The Game. We like to just throw out the name. You'll get five different opinions. You'll get five different callers when you just say the word Draymond Green. Jimmy Garoppolo was that guy. Brock Purdy has been that guy. But Draymond Green, now that Klay Thompson's not here anymore, so you can't blame Klay for everything, you're damn sure not going to blame Stephen Curry. Is it going to be Andrew Wiggins? Is it going to be Draymond Green? Is it going to be Jonathan Kuminga that people are going to start blaming this year? Let's go to Kuminga real quick, because I think you put the nail on the head, if you will, on the Draymond Green aspect of all this. He just needs to stay on the court, because when he's on the court, he's fine. It's all the other extracurricular crap that he brings along that they just don't need this season. But Jonathan Kuminga, he wants to get that Supermax money. He wants to get that Supermax rookie deal kind of a contract. And right now there's been reports that the Warriors are looking for more of, you know, 150, 185, whatever the reported numbers was there, somewhere around that. But Kuminga wants that Supermax deal. Are the Warriors in a position where they can afford to move off and play hardball with a guy like Jonathan Kuminga? How big of a year is this for that guy? In particular, not just for the Golden State Warriors, but just him and the NBA going forward, because I know he said he wants to be a one-team guy. I know he's had his frustrations with Steve Kerr. Correct, but I think Kuminga means it. Like, this is the organization that gave him a shot, and he's improved tremendously over the years, especially last year being his best season. But if I'm looking at the writing on the wall and Steph Curry's days here are numbered as he's just getting older to father time, like, I need to keep a guy like a Jonathan Kuminga that has, I believe, now maybe I'm in the minority here, star to borderline superstar potential.
He has,
I believe that.
He has, yes, I agree with you. He does have all the raw ability. Mike Dunleavy, what's going on with the latest with Kuminga and those the Kuminga and Moody extensions?
Yeah, we're working through that with them and the representation right now. We've got a few more weeks. Good, positive conversations without getting into too much detail. I think regardless of whether we get something done or not, we want those guys here. Just because you don't get an extension done doesn't mean they're not going to be here for a long time. We'll still have their rights in free agency if we can't come to an agreement by the 21st. And I think for them, the most important thing is, you know, we'll get through these next few weeks with a deal or not a deal. But the most, all that matters is they have great seasons and whether they sign an extension or not. So I think we're all operating in the same, you know, that same thought process. And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
So by the way, the 21st he's talking about is the October 21st deadline to ink Kuminga and Moody to these extensions. Kind of curious to say that just because you don't get the extension doesn't mean he's not going to be here for a long time. Sure, I guess in theory that's true, but if you're Jonathan Kuminga, you want to go to a place where you're going to be A, valued, and B, able to truly, you know, stretch your wings. You know, what was it? The Mark Wahlberg line from the other guys. I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly.
Thank you. Give you a three.
You know, that's what Kuminga wants to do. That was his frustration last year. When you finally started seeing him get those, you know, consistent minutes, you saw just how good he actually was. But I feel like if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, a big frustration is the fact that throughout your career so far, you know, you're seeing all these other guys who you were drafted with, they're kind of, you know, really spreading their wings, being allowed to fly. Scotty Barnes was in that same draft. He got that big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty Barnes was thrown into a lousy situation, said, go figure it out. And now they got a team that's being built around him. Kuminga had to join a team that was already winning and find his own way. It hasn't really worked for Kuminga there, though, to get to where he can utilize all of his assets. And he's saying, you know, I'm good enough to be a Supermax player. Spadoni, he's not getting a Supermax deal. He's not. Like, he's just not done enough over these last few years to where I'm thinking, yeah, you definitely need to get Supermax money.
No, but his representation, we saw this with Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, their representations, they're going to try to milk that for all it's worth. They're going to play hardball, yada, yada, yada. But not to get into nitty-gritty of that, you know, I do wonder where Golden State Warriors fans are on a guy like Jonathan Kuminga, because you remember in that playoff series against the Kings a couple years ago in that first round series, he went to CJ Holmes, who was then of the San Francisco Chronicle covering the team, and saying he was voicing his frustrations. He wanted to get him more playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that wasn't the best move for a young player to go through the media, but you know, he wants his voice heard, and he doesn't feel like his voice is being heard from a guy like Steve Kerr, now with Mike Dunleavy. So what is he going to do this year is so fascinating to me, because you can say Andrew Wiggins needs to be that number two. I'm looking at Jonathan Kuminga potentially taking another leap this year.
Oh, that's the dream scenario.
That's the dream. Like, you want him, and it's open there, to be that number two guy. No more Klay Thompson. The Splash Brothers gone. Andrew Wiggins, you don't know what you're getting for him. Draymond Green's not that offensive threat. I'm looking at Jonathan Kuminga to take the reins this year and run away with him. Show Steph that the franchise is in good hands. Show Steve Kerr that you got something to build off when he is gone. Because you just look at the size, the athleticism, the defense at times.
Kuminga slams.
I get it. He doesn't do all the little things right all of the time, but God, he's still so...
He's 22, isn't he?
22. He's
22,
so damn young still.
Can't even rent a car.
And I get it. I go to Moody the same thing, where I think they're kind of, not polar opposites, but their attributes are a lot different in what they highlight. I think where Kuminga lacks, Moody does well. All the little things. Going when called upon.
They compliment each other.
Getting the nitty-gritty stuff. Going through, you know, diving on the ball, getting those loose balls. Hitting a corner three when you need it. Kuminga could come in, though, when you're down 10, 15 points and just take over a game and be the best player physically on the court. That's something that the Warriors fans have been dying for. Size, explosiveness,
size,
stuff like that. It does. Shout out Blue Chew.
Size, like, matters.
Thank you, Fitz. Like, you're just going back to the well here of the draft night in and night out, year in and year out, I should say. And you got a guy like Quentin Post now. I don't know what you're going to get from him, but it is nice that you got some size with the Kyle Anderson, but it comes at a cost because we call him slow-mo. He's not the most laterally quick guy. You have that in Kuminga, and I think it would just be foolish for them to move on from a guy like that when you have just been dying as a fan base to get a player of his caliber when it comes to all those attributes.
And let's throw one last rat on the table here before we get out of here, and that is, you know, we gave Clay a lot of crap last year. It was a rough year for him. But they are going to miss him this year. His absence will be noticeable because the thing is with Clay Thompson, one of the greatest shooters in NBA history, the second greatest shooter of this era of basketball, even in his off nights, even in his hobbled state, the shooting is going to be there for the most part. You know, the legs don't impact the shooting all that much. Because, you know, you're using your arms versus your legs.
Thank you. Science Sam, back at it. Thank you. Physical therapist.
So, like, having that space that he created just by being the threat of the three-point shooter that he is. Because if you just leave Klay Thompson alone on an island all by himself, you know, standing out there beyond the arc, he'll start draining threes. You have to play defense on him.
I didn't do it against the Kings, but I hear
you. Well, again, there's you don't know what Klay you're going to get. Are you get play in tournament Clay, or are you going to get having a hot night Clay? You're still in a situation where it's either or. Yeah. So you have to go in defensively and honor the fact that at any moment Clay can go nuclear. And that space he creates, that space that's created for Steph. It's Steph Curry. You give him an inch, he will take Golden State a mile. And so he's not going to have that extra inch of space anymore this year that Clay Thompson's presence used to always bring. I got the depth chart up right here in front of me, Spinoni. Steph Curry's in there. You got Brandon Pajamski, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green. Who's creating space there? Who's the shooting threat there outside of Steph Curry?
Well, some people think it's Brandon Pajemski. He's the great white hope. He's going to be great.
Yes, and we've all heard what Brandon Pajemski has to say about Brandon Pajemski, but let's be real here. We saw at the end of last year, like, the dude that Brandon Pajemski thinks he is versus the dude that Brandon Pajemski actually is, it's a pretty noticeable gulf, you know? So the idea that Brandon Pajemski is going to be the immediate replacement of Clay, that is... Don't even set yourself up for that disappointment.
Ludicrous.
Buddy Hield, the fine three-point shooter. He might be the third best three-point shooter of this era right now.
Going to be honest, I completely forgot Buddy Hield was a Golden State Warrior.
Don't call me
Buddy,
guy. I'm
just going to say that right now. I completely forgot about that.
I'm not your buddy, guy.
Thank you. Give you a 2 for the South Park.
Yeah, it was a terrible one. there's like a 1.2. But like the gulf between Steph and Clay to Buddy Hield is massive. So this idea that the Warriors are going to be able to be better this year after everything, I'm not buying it, Spadoni. I'm not.
You know what I am buying? Something here at Freedman's Appliance for their fall clearance sales event live here. This was a great show.
It was a good show.
Spadoni, Lubman, for Freedman's Appliance, for Mark Grandy, for Ken, for Cam, for everyone here. Thank you all so much. Freedman's Appliance fall clearance sales event.
Cozen Steiny, too.
Going out today, Cozen Steiny, today through tomorrow. Come stop by. Say hi to everyone. It's a party. It's a great time. And thank you to everyone. Have a great weekend on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.